here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back with you again live on Tuesday. And I do hope you have yourselves a great weekend. Stay tuned for Mark Levine's show. It's going to be a good one. And don't forget, thanks to Billy Shears, our music director, and don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Later, gang.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop, all the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. You know, I like to talk about things the government does not want you to hear, but really, I like to talk about anything that people don't want you to hear, particularly when it involves a powerful, shadowy organization with lots of money and lots of adherents and lots of secretiveness. Last week, I focused on Reverend Sun Myung Moon, a very powerful man who considers himself the Messiah and has started a religion that most consider a very dangerous cult. I want to talk today about another possible religion, possible cult, possible danger, something that is extremely controversial in Hollywood and even in Washington. And my guest today, Tori Christman, has achieved the second highest level of the Church of Scientology, a church begun by L. Ron Hubbard, a science fiction writer back in the 1950s, that has grown today to include, I'm not quite sure how many adherents, I'll ask Tori in a second, but my understanding is it's tens of thousands. I myself went to a Church of Scientology once in Los Angeles, where I, just out of curiosity, walked in. I had heard all kinds of things about it and took one of their personality tests. And in that test, they basically said, if you've ever been unhappy, if you've ever been sad, if you've ever been wondering about whether your life is good or not, then you must join the Church of Scientology. I started laughing, given that everyone has done that. But Tori Christman has had a much larger experience in the church. I walked out after that day. She was there for 30 years. Tori Christman, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you, Mark. It's good to talk to you.
It's very good to have you on. I got to tell you, this has been a highly anticipated show, not just by me, but by lots of my listeners, as well as a whole organization called Anonymous that we will get to later on in the broadcast. Let me start with you and your history. When is it that you first got into the Church of Scientology?
1969. I was a hippie. I'd gone back. I was, you know, into the whole I lived in San Francisco. I was a hippie. I got into looking for higher powers, blah, blah, blah. Got into drugs. Ended up, my parents flew me back home. In the hospital, I literally, these Scientologists came in and gave me the book Dianetics. I went
back. While you were in the hospital?
Pardon me?
While you were in the hospital?
Yeah. I had shot up heroin once. Which Scientology,
wow,
since I've left, has said many times I was a heroin addict, I was a heroin dealer, which is totally lie. I hit up heroin once when I was in San Francisco.
And you were in the hospital for it, and they came in while you were in that weekend state,
right,
and tried to persuade you.
They were kids
say.
That I knew from high school, and they came in giving me a Dianetics book, and I thought, well, that was nice of them.
Okay, so it was the book that convinced you at that time.
The book did. I never read the whole book. I read about three chapters. It talked about clearing your mind. My grandfather was a doctor, and I always wanted to be a doctor, but I really didn't want to go to college that long. And I thought, great, I can become a Scientologist. So I had a fight with my dad, quit college, hitchhiked out from Chicago to Los Angeles to become a Scientologist.
And what happened when you became a Scientologist?
Well, the interesting thing, you know, people that are critical thinkers talk about that. You know, in a cult, they shut down your critical thinking. They have to. Have you ever read the book Blink, Mark?
I haven't.
Well, it's a very good book about instincts, and just your first instinct is usually really right, right? And I walked into Scientology, and I went, whoa. You know, I was a hippie. I'd been fighting against the Vietnam War. I was against organizations. I was against all this stuff, and I walk in, and they're in these military uniforms, marching around, you know, it was very, you know, big pictures of Hubbard, and I thought, whoa, this is like way weird. But then I hitchhiked. They said, no, you can't talk to the guy you want to. He's on course. Come back at 10. He'll call you at 10:30. So I hitchhiked back out to the valley. Again, it's in the 60s. I'm a hippie. I go back to my friend's house. We get stoned, and we're laughing. And, oh, yeah, right, the guy's going to call you at 10:30. And he did it. 10:35, he called me. I was like, holy shit. And I'm like, it's the guy, right? And he said, you know, I'll come get you. I'll bring you back here. And he did. He showed up, brought me back to Scientology. And I went over all those things I just said that were weird. And he said, yeah, I know. You know, I don't like those things either, but don't worry about it. Let's meet the auditors, which are like the consultants. And that's who I fell in love with. And that was the second I remember shutting down my critical thinking, thinking, I don't care what they do. I love these people. I want to be like them.
So the auditors are, I guess, what religions might call priests or reverends or ministers or rabbis. They're trying to do that,
but they're not really. They're just counselors. They're following Hubbard's teachings that he had. It doesn't have anything
to do with God or religion. Explain to me, if you can, Hubbard's teachings. I know it has something to do with that you had a life before now and a life after now. I guess reincarnation. What are the teachings of Scientology?
Well, first of all, let me say that's a great question because everyone is in the same boat you are. They don't know what Scientology is, and that's intentional. Hubbard wrote a thing called the mystery sandwich, and he says create a mystery sandwich, right? Don't tell people what we are because that's how you get sucked in. You see what I mean? It's like the curiosity, right?
Oh, you want to find out all the inner secrets, I see.
Right, and it's like any totalitarian organization. It is filled with secrets. Think of it like a triangle, right? You get on. It's like a mind-controlled train. You hop on. Okay, I'll do your communication course. It's $40, no big deal. You don't know that once you stepped on that train, literally there's thousands of people that are counting on you continuing on that train. If you get off, they lose all kinds of statistics and maybe their day off and all kinds of things, right?
So how do they convince you to stay on the train? Well, what is it? You go in there and they're friendly people. Okay, I get that. I mean, that's true for most cults. People are friendly. A lot of people are in our society are you know, let's face it, we're all alone in the universe to some extent. We all have some friends, some family, but many of us want the comfort, whether it is, and I'm not just talking about Scientology. It could be in any religion, a comfort of a church, a comfort of a club. We want friends. So that I get how people go in there, but how do they keep you in there?
Okay, good question again. Now, people who study cults call it love bombing, and they do. It's more than a religion. I was a Catholic. You know, you go in, you got your friends, they're Catholics too. I mean, there's a little camaraderie thing, but it's not like love bombing where you walk in and they're like, wow, Mark, fantastic. Welcome to Scientology. Come on in, man. Let me tell you my whim, yada, 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 right? And you just keep running into these people that are just glowing, having fabulous whims, and you're like, wow.
Wins,
which are like successes.
Okay, so let me tell you my win, because I guess there's a whole, of course, a whole lingo, a whole speak here. So let me tell you my wins means let me tell you my what's gone on good for me these days.
And let me tell you why you need to stay.
Okay.
Right. Like, and yes, you're doing the communication course, fantastic, that's great, but you've got to go clear. Wait till I tell you about clear. Which clear was really the end phenomena or the result of Dianetics, Hubbard said. He started it in 1950. He said, I'm going to tell you that Dianetics in like 2 minutes. Basically, he said you have a reactive mind and you have an analytical mind. And an analytical mind is just like a computer storing all day long, right? The reactive mind, he said, was filled with mental image pictures of moments of pain and unconsciousness. Now, let's face it. All of us have some of those, right?
Sure. I mean, we have a working brain.
Moments of pain, and most of us unconsciousness of some.
Well, that's why when I went into that that room, and I've only been in once, I started laughing because on that 200 questionnaire, it was things like, have you ever suffered pain? Have you ever suffered sadness? And I remember thinking, what human being hasn't suffered pain and sadness? If they haven't, they're not human. And they made it seem like, oh, well, then you're in desperate need of help. And I just thought, no, I'm human. And that's when I started laughing and started reading the questions out loud, and they kicked me out. But anyway, go ahead.
You. What year was that?
Oh, this was in the 1990s. It would have been about 94, I would guess.
Right.
Give or take a year. There's just big Dianetics, a big Church of Scientology building on Hollywood Boulevard. I was living in Los Angeles, and I had heard it was a cult, and I walked in just sort of to see what they would do, and they gave me this, you know, 200-thing questionnaire. And after reading about 50 questions, you know, have you ever been sick? Have you ever been tired? Have you ever been depressed? Have you ever been frustrated? You know, I started laughing because what human has not been at some point sick, tired, you know, and frustrated? But in any case, my laughing didn't last for very long. They were okay with the laughter until I started saying things like, well, everyone's been frustrated. Everyone's been sick. And then they immediately hustled me out. But I'm a troublemaker, I guess.
I didn't get to finish that. You said, how do they keep you on the train? And,
yes,
and I will tell you this. Now they're having a very hard time keeping people on the train. I mean, the guys that are way socked in, like all my friends and my husband, they're in. They're in. But the old days were so different when we got in. It was much more fun. There was this huge excitement. Hubbard was writing stuff all the time. We didn't know he was literally copying things and putting them under his name, right? So you thought this man was coming up with all this stuff. And it was like, wow, now there's this, now there's that, now there, here's this change and that change. And it all was like you're going to get free, totally free, right? And have no problems and be able to do all these extra, you know, OT abilities, which OT stands for Operating Thetan, which Thetan is a spirit. And, you know, it's just sort of his BS thing on how you'd be so able and capable.
So the idea is that if you're in Scientology, suddenly life is perfect for you and you have no problems and you can do...
Not suddenly, but it will be if you continue on up the bridge to total freedom. That's
I
the
see.
Promise.
I
and
see.
It's like, you know, one guy on Operation Clambake, which is Xenu.net, which is, he's a critic, and he's the guy who helped me wake up. He's in Norway, Andreas Helderland. But there's a guy on there that has this picture of like a mule horse kind of plodding along, and there's this carrot out in front of it. And that is what OT is like. You're constantly off, you know, one step from that carrot, right?
And meanwhile, that carrot costs money, right? You have to keep paying to get to the next level.
And someone just called me all about Katie Holmes and how she's getting thin and this and that. And I was just saying, you know, they thought she was on the upper levels, and I said, I doubt it. They wouldn't let her on like that. They're probably making her wrong because she's in quote-unquote doubt. This is a guess. I don't know. But, I mean, I know that people, individuals, as soon as you question Scientology, they put you in what they call lower conditions, and now you're in ethics, and now you're getting handled and, you know, all this other stuff.
Oh, no, this is interesting to me because it sounds to me like basically Scientology is a pyramid scheme. In other words, a lot of people at the bottom give money to people at the top, and who give it to people higher up until the people at the highest level do very well.
It's not like a multi-level thing, no. But it is. It's like a triangle. It's like the Truman Show. Did you ever see that?
I did see that.
It's very
watched all the time, I guess.
Very much like that. Cameras, watch. They lie all the time, like that guy that pulled down to the beach and said, "I'm her dad." You know, he was lying through his teeth.
So when did you, I mean, did you not have doubts for 20 years, or did you have doubts all throughout?
For me, my analogy is it's a lot like the Truman Show. And you see different things that are not right, and it's like a hole in your Truman Show. But like anything in life, I've written an article called Flipping It, where you just flip it off. You know, you probably do at your radio station, where things happen, and you go, that's not right, but you don't have time. You got to get back to work. That's it, right?
Right, right.
It's a little bit in your mind that your boss or your friend or whatever, this happened and that wasn't really right, right? But we're all like that. We got to keep going on our own path, whatever that is. But in Scientology, you start seeing more and more and more. Now, for someone like me, someone from their very, very top thing, which is called RTC, which is the head group next to Miscavige who runs it, left. And I just talked to her last night, and she said, they explained you to me like this. They said, you were supposed to run this operation, and it flipped on them. You know, like, I saw too much, and that's what happened. I saw too much and realized they're stopping free speech on the Internet. I can't do that. I didn't get into Scientology to stop free speech. And that was
so enough up in the triangle to look out and see over the landscape to mix metaphors
right.
Well, a bit.
Not only in the triangle, but they also have the Office of Special Affairs, which is next. It's not part of the Bridge to Total Freedom. It's this organization supposedly PR and legal. It's also their dirty tricks. Like years ago, they locked Paulette Cooper. You know, I mean, they didn't lock her. They snuck in her house. She was an author who went on, did a course, just like if you did a course. And then she wrote a book, The Scandals of Scientology. They literally broke into her home, st- stole some of her stationery with fingerprints on it, wrote a bomb threat to the government, had an entire program to put her in prison, and was about ready to put her in prison when the government broke into their guardian's office, which is now the Office of Special Affairs, found the whole program as well as them breaking into the government offices. 11 people went to jail, including Hubbard's wife.
Very interesting. So I guess
what I'm... Hardcore stuff.
And I've heard of some of it. I was telling you before you came on air when I first talked with you about a friend of mine who's a lawyer in Los Angeles. I haven't seen in years, in fact, but who was researching into them and actually in lawsuits with them. Let me just try to understand, though, before we get to all the things they've done, what is the attraction? I mean, you know, when you, Americans think of Scientology, let's face it, they think of Tom Cruise, they think of John Travolta, think of a lot of Hollywood stars, and I think that is attractive to people who are looking for, I don't know, fame or fortune or just to be with famous people. What is it about Scientology that attracts Hollywood people?
Well, think about it. You're in Los Angeles?
No. I used to be. I lived there 10 years ago. I've been in Washington
okay, so you,
for...
you know the drill, right? You know, people come in,
sure.
Oh, I'm going to be an actor. I'm going to be an actress,
right.
A model, whatever. And everybody's
right.
Like, see a kid, you know, come on back when you're a star. We're not interested.
Right.
But Scientology figured that out, and they said, wait a minute, let's start Celebrity Center. You know what I mean? We'll invite any artist in. I trained John Travolta years ago. I helped train him with some other people when he was on course. And he was not a star when he came on course. He got Welcome Back Kotter while he was on court in Celebrity
Center. So they take 1,000 struggling actors, and when one makes it, one that makes it thinks it's Scientology, and the other 999 keep trying, I guess.
You got it. And they keep milking them for their money, right? You know, well, if you get higher on the bridge, you'll be more successful, the whole thing.
So how do people normally stay when they go into Scientology? Do they leave after a while? I guess it depends on the person.
Well, now it does a lot more. I mean, they're having a very hard time getting new people in. They used to have a thing called the Mission Network, and those guys were directly responsible for getting new people in. And they kind of wined and dined people, had them in their homes. They were very friendly. When Miscavige took over, even I think Hubbard before Miscavige, they got rid of the whole Mission Network. So now that doesn't really exist. They only have their org. And people don't want to go in them. And plus there's the Internet. You can find out all this stuff. And when they're asking you to write $5,000-$10,000 checks, it's like, well, let me check on the net, right? And Xenu.net, XENU.net, is usually second. Scientology's bullshit is number one. And right next to it in Google is Xenu.net, which is my friend from Norway. And he is just a computer geek who started looking into it, found out all these weird things they'd done, put it together in a website, and there it is.
So it's interesting. The Internet has really harmed Scientology then.
Really?
From the way it was when I walked into a place 15 years ago or so.
Yeah, so, see, they were just starting, and 15 years they had me out opening these phony accounts. And I said, well, what are you going to use them for? And they said, Tori, we can't tell you. If we did, you're going to end up in deposition for a long, long time. Now, most of Scientology will say I'm insane because I'm saying this, because they don't know of it. Because there were only 5 people that were part of this group. And we had to sign a thing that we would never tell anyone, not our husbands, not our wives, not our friends, not the executives of Scientology, not anyone, right? So it was like
that you were opening up false bank accounts?
Pardon me?
Tell them what? That you were opening up phony bank accounts?
Secret Mafia. I wasn't opening bank accounts. I was opening phony accounts that they would use to go onto the Internet and spam this news group that was posting truth about Scientology that they didn't want seen.
I see. You know, we got a lot of calls. I wanted to talk with you a bit, but I know we have people on the line. I will give out the number. It's 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366, or 888-488-MARK. You can call either one. Let's go to another Mark from Texas. Mark, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing good.
I first came into this because back in 2000, there was a high school student who posted an online book review of Dianetics. Scientology got upset, posted a cease and desist letter to him and to the ISP, and applied enough
tactics. A cease and desist letter for writing a book report?
Just for a book report, a school book report. And they were so upset that they pressured the ISP to yank his account. And
for writing a book report?
For a
high
report.
School kid?
Yeah. they are that sensitive to any kind of what they perceive of as criticism. So after that, I went looking on Mark Bunker's site and found out all of this other stuff on, you know, Zeno TV, and I was just appalled. So I think that a lot of what Tori here is saying is hard for people to believe, but anyone who will even, I mean, if you look at Paulette Cooper, she posted, wrote an article that wasn't really all that bad towards Scientology, and then they, you know, framed her for felony charges.
Mark, so. I don't find it hard to believe at all. As I said, I knew a lawyer in Los Angeles named Graham Berry 10 years ago, really just an acquaintance of mine, but someone who I knew had been involved in some lawsuits against Scientology, and they, my understanding is they got him fired from his law firm, which at the time I thought, no, they can't do that. He's a good lawyer. How can they get him fired from his law firm? But they seem to, let's say, not play fair.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe John Travolta's attorneys living above Graham Berry.
Living above him. They took the room above him.
They couldn't figure out, Graham couldn't figure out how they knew he had a case against Scientology, and how did they always know what he was doing. He found out as he was losing his condo that they had Travolta living, his attorneys living above him.
So where do they get all the money, I guess, comes from the pyramid scheme, right? All the people at the bottom. No.
The money comes from donations. First of all, let's say this. They're really running out of money, which is one thing. If any Scientologists are listening to this, one of the top guy that was way up at the top with David Miscavige just left and told me two nights ago, they, for years, Hubbard had millions of dollars that he called Sea Org reserves. His direct group is the Sea Org, right, that work with him. Those are the guys in the uniforms.
Okay, I mean, I get lost in all the lingo, but I believe you. Go ahead.
But I'm just saying it's a group of people that work for him, right? And they're called the Sea Organization because he used to live out on a ship out in the ocean. Now they're on land, but they still call themselves the Sea Organization. And they're like 24-7. They work for Scientology. They live with Scientology. That's their group, right? And for years, Hubbard had millions of dollars he had taken in that he had his Sea Org reserves. And he always had that. That was his foundation. If anything bad happened, they had the reserves. This guy told me they have now, David Miscavige has spent all of their Sea Org reserves. That's millions and millions of dollars.
Wow.
How are they getting these buildings, right? And you know how they're getting them? Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is donating that much money to them?
Yep. That's what he told me. He's buying the buildings. He's paying for them.
Let me ask you something. I want to give an inside scoop out because these are whispers, and I don't know whether they're true or not, but I remember when I lived in Los Angeles, this is what I was told. I have no idea if it's true, that for people like Tom Cruise and John Travolta, that they are gay and that they like to sleep with men, and that what Scientology does for them is it protects their cover, it provides them with sexual outlets, and at the same time, what Scientology does is blackmails them to make sure that people don't find out their sexual orientation. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that was the whispers I heard in Los Angeles. I wonder if you have a comment on that.
I have a comment on it, which is Travolta has been very overtly gay. I mean, he has pictures of him kissing his nanny. He's been in.
He lived with a guy in West. He had a boyfriend in West Hollywood, is my understanding, for many years.
Whatever, you know, he's pretty overtly gay, even though he says he's married and he's got his kids, and he is married, but he's not like hiding it. Whereas Travolta, Travolta, I know from many many people who know him that he is gay, or well, let's say bisexual, just to cover both ends.
Sure.
Tom Cruise is a fanatic who sues people if they say he's gay. So I'm not going to say he's gay because I don't want to get sued.
I said I don't know. I said I've heard rumors that he's gay.
What man, Mark, what man do you know that sues people if they say they're gay?
Usually only closeted homosexuals. But
thank you.
They're going to, of course, use it for blackmail because that's, you know, the way that they keep you in the org and keep you productive is to have a, you know, find out all your secrets through their various psych checks and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, that was my question. I'm not sure who's on the line here.
Is this
Anon or Casey? Oh, this is still Mark.
Yeah.
Okay, because we have a lot of callers on the line.
Okay. I can go and let other people.
I want to give other people a chance. Let me just ask you, does Scientology, Tori, use blackmail to control?
They do. They've tried to. They don't usually with the celebrities, I don't think, because they've got too many sources that they could go to and complain about it. But they do in their own way. They have their own ways of manipulating people. And you know, if you leave and speak out, you're going to lose all your friends and your family. I lost my husband of 27 years and all my friends.
Wow.
I mean,
let me go to
and told them Nicole was a suppressive person.
What? Oh, suppressive person, meaning someone who is against the church.
Super evil.
Okay.
In their mind.
In their mind. Let me go to Anand. Now, this person is the one who, in fact, first set me on to you, Tori. Someone who's with an organization called Anonymous.
I
He's
love
never told
Anonymous.
Me his name.
They're fantastic. These are great people. They're really doing some good stuff.
Well, he helped me with this topic. So, Anand, welcome very much to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mr. Levine. How are you?
You can call me Mark. We've talked enough on the phone. Yeah. You can call me Mark.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I just wanted to call in and, you know, say hey to everyone. And I found the money issue a very interesting thing. I've been doing my own research on the money lately, and I found an interesting article, and I hope Tori can confirm this for me. I think they said, like, OT8 after you've been in, and that's operating thinking level 8, after you've been in that long, that you've actually paid in anywhere from $365,000 to $385,000.
Wow.
Now,
by what level?
Can you confirm this for me?
By what level?
Operating Thetan 8. Eight.
Oh, for
operating
sure.
Operating Thetan 8.
Oh, absolutely. If
Tori,
not,
how much did you pay?
You know, easily, my mother-in-law gave us, just for OT 4 through 8, which is that, you know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and there's the whole bridge before that. But just for 4 through 8, she paid $100,000 for me and $100,000 for my husband.
Now, why did your mother do that?
She was.
I mean, I'm sure she loved you, but...
She was in Scientology since 1950, right?
Okay.
She
so your
was
mother
OT8.
Was involved in Scientology.
Not my mother.
Wow.
My mother hated Scientology. My mother-in-law.
Oh.
My husband.
Your mother-in-law. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Your mother-in-law.
His mother and his. My husband's mother and father got in 1950.
And she
was dying, or not dying, but, you know, getting older. Knew she wanted to give. She said, "I want to see your win. So I'm going to give Scientology $200,000. $100 for Harold. $100 for me." That's what happened.
Explain to me, because for someone like me who's not in Scientology and begrudgingly gives, you know, a few hundred dollars to a synagogue from time to time, what is it that convinces someone to give $100,000 to an organization? I mean, there is a draw, obviously.
Mind control. See,
how does that work?
Religion, a synagogue, is not mind control. I don't believe
right.
that.
Well, so how do they control your mind? Explain to me how they do it.
Okay, well, first of all, have you ever watched any videos on mind control at all? There's a lot of them on the internet.
I've seen hypnosis. I've seen hypnotists act, certainly.
Okay, let me give you. Have you ever heard of the Milgram experiment?
I that's the one where they made the people cause
with
pain to other
shock.
People.
Yeah.
Right. Just describe it to my listeners. It's a very famous experiment from the 50s, I think, where you had a man in a white robe and an authority figure, and he would ask people who signed up for this experiment to shock someone else who missed questions. And
exactly.
It turns out
and he wore a white jacket because he said authority is something that people do kind of, you know, they listen to, right? Which, again, Hubbard had the guys in the military uniforms, right, which makes them more authoritarian, right? And in the Milgram experiment, that's exactly what happened. They can go on the internet and just look up Milgram experiment and watch.
Right.
The whole
basically,
thing.
The volunteers ended up going to the max. They didn't realize that they were the subject of the experiment, and they thought they were really shocking these Confederates. It shows the power of people responding to authority, and it was used to explain a lot of what happened with the Nazis, for example.
And so
how does this relate
to? Let's say 200 was bad, really horrible. They had them up to like 600 and 800 volts. And the guy who was just pretending was in this booth going, you know, just screaming his lungs out. And they're going, more, more. And the people were just doing more. It's just the peer pressure of it. There's another study called the Solomon Ash study. It's on social pressure on conformity. That's another good one. And
so how does Scientology use these techniques? How does Scientology use
peer pressure? You know, you're surrounded by people. Immediately, they have a thing called keeping Scientology working. Right away, first course, communication, first thing you read, keeping Scientology working. And he talks about, just like Tom Cruise, you saw him in that video, so you're either in or you're out, right? Did you see that video?
I didn't. But
okay, well, anyway, it's on the net. You can go see it. Type in Tom Cruise. It's really, somebody leaked it out, but it's he talking to Scientologists, and he's saying, you're either in or you're out. That's it. There's no in between. There's no 1 foot out. You're sort of checking it out. Nothing. You're either in Scientology or you're out, and that's part of keeping Scientology working. And every course you do, that is reinforced over and over and over. And in that, he talks about, besides having to know the tech, know it's correct, blah, 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 you have to report anyone who's not using it correctly.
The old East German trick of talking about your friends and neighbors.
Right, so now you're ratting on people that are your good friends because you're helping them.
You're helping save them, I guess. It's their salvation, I guess, in a sense.
It is their, not only their salvation this lifetime, but he says their entire salvation, lifetime after lifetime, depends on you applying keeping Scientology working.
Anand, do you have another comment, or should I go to my next caller?
Yeah, actually, I just wanted to say, along those lines of the mind control trick, I read in John Attack's piece of Blue Sky, also, another thing that they use, they basically say, like, if the tech isn't working for you, which is, like, the courses and stuff, it's about you. It's not the tech that's wrong, it's you, which, is true in any cult, you know, they make it say that something's wrong with you, not the practices,
it's a clever technique because most people are not strong enough to stand up against a whole organization and to say, in effect, the emperor has no clothes, I'm right, and the world is wrong. And so it takes people who aren't willing to do that and gets them deeper and deeper into it. Thanks for your call, Anand.
It took me 30 years.
All right. Hey, can I make one quick
comment
for the Louisville area? Okay.
Yes.
Louisville this weekend, we're looking for a protest speaker to come who is an ex-Scientologist. So if there are any ex-Scientologists out there listening, come out to Louisville this weekend, the 12th, noon, outside the Scientology Center.
And
Anand,
Kentucky, right?
I'm sorry?
Louisville, Kentucky?
Yes, Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
Now, just before you go, just tell me, what is Anonymous? Because there is this organization out there, and I know you're having a protest on Saturday, the 12th. I guess it's countrywide or maybe even worldwide. What is the Anonymous organization?
Oh, well, gosh. I'm
in 1 minute
really
or less.
I guess I could just say that basically what we are is we are the Internet. We are the presence of the Internet. We do what we feel like. And I mean, I don't want to, like, go too much into the whole ethical thing because they're really...
Well, but people can find out about you, right? They could just Google Anonymous and Scientology.
Basically, what we are is you look up the standalone complex, and basically an idea gets posted on the Internet, and what we are is we are the collective that focuses on that. We are everyone, we're no one. So, you know, and it's kind of like Fight Club, you know. You don't talk about Fight Club.
Well, I don't want you to be your own cult, but it seems to me that what you are doing, at least, is you're taking on Scientology, and you're doing it in a way that hopefully won't get them attacking you. I don't know. Well, maybe they'll go out and attack me now. We'll find out. Get all kinds of enemies with what I do, so I'm not really afraid of them.
Exactly. Attacking Anonymous. They already are attacking Anonymous.
Right.
That's the thing.
Thanks for your call, Anon.
Okay. Yeah.
And one thing,
I appreciate it. I just want to get to another caller.
Anonymous. Can I say one thing?
Go right ahead,
are you
please.
There?
Yes.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, they're not an organization. They're not a group. They're not anything organized at all. They're just people on the Internet who have come, you know, what happened is they, you know, they did their thing where Scientology, their typical thing where they tried to stop some kind of free speech on the Internet. They tried to order that the Tom Cruise video be taken off the net, right?
Uh-huh.
This is the thing you haven't seen, but it's a video that was on YouTube, and Scientology ordered that it be taken off YouTube. And a bunch of people that call themselves anonymous said, not on our watch. And they basically shut down Scientology's computer for, I think, 24, or was it 48 hours? It was a while.
That was the last straw with us. We had actually had some run-ins with them before trying to squash our free speech, and that was the last straw. And
right. Very interesting.
We DDoSed them within 24 hours.
I'll tell you, I'm going to go check out that video myself.
Yeah, they're really cool.
I assume we could get it now, right?
What?
I'm going to check out the video with Tom Cruise. That's very interesting. Let me go to Casey in Florida, if I can. Casey, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Casey, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Go ahead, please.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I was calling about their organization, Scientology's kind of their blanket drug rehabilitation organization, Narcanon. I was wondering, you guys were just talking about the mind control, right? And I was wondering, like, I had heard they applied some of those tactics in there as well. Like they would
use of drugs
through a certain
Casey?
Amount. Hello?
The use of drugs?
No. No, the Drug Rehabilitation Center. Narcanon.
When you say some
of
those techniques.
Is a group that helps get, they say they're rehabilitating people, getting them off of drugs. They've had very little.
That's what I'm saying. I was asking, I've heard they use like some sort of mind control technique where they kind of, like they use saunas at one point, and they read like different things from the Scientology tech.
Okay, well the sauna isn't mind control. Sauna is where you're sweating out the drugs.
Yeah, I know that, but like they dehydrate people so they're more susceptible to ideas.
Well, let me ask you about that, Tori. Thank you for your call, Casey, because I know that, for example, the Moonies, the followers of Reverend Sun Young Moon, would do things like deny protein to people and say that you can leave, but you can only leave at, say, 2 in the morning. And this caller, Casey, mentioned saunas making you dehydrated. Do they use physical techniques to keep you in the church?
No, they can't do that. I mean, actually, let me correct that, because they have a thing called body routing, which is where they physically will just move you across the street and into their church. So in that sense, yes, they do, but they're not like dragging you in. Do you know what I mean? But it's
no, but they don't use like lack of sleep or dehydration or food denial in a way.
Not
that
really.
Some other
not to get them in. No, not to get you in, and not even when you're in that I know of. The Narcanon program is a giant ripoff. I will say that. It doesn't really work. They have a lot of people that go back on drugs. It's another one of their front groups. They have a bunch of front groups that are really Scientology. They kind of pretend they're not, but they are. They're under the umbrella of Scientology. One, Narcanon is one. Applied Scholastics is one. Way to Happiness is one. They're all under Miscavige's rule.
Yeah.
So is the way they mostly keep you in then through threats? If you leave, we'll get you. Things like that.
Nah, you got to think about it. I mean, if somebody threatened me, I'd say screw you and I'd leave. You don't keep you in with threats. But they do. You know, it's a very much a dichotomy. Like they're selling freedom and they're enslaving people. So you just have to think of they're saying you won't get free if you leave. Do you see what I mean? And they're pushing freedom. But the underside of it is if you do leave, and they don't say it to you, but you know it, if you leave, you're going to lose all your friends and your family. And a lot of people can't face that. It was very hard for me. I mean, I cried for 2 years after I left. It was a very, very hard thing for me to lose all those people.
I wonder if a lot of it also...
Look at what's the cost of freedom?
I wonder also if it isn't that you've paid all this money, you spent all this time, and Americans, or people in general, human beings, don't like to think that they've acted in vain. Yeah, I think of it sometimes with this war in Iraq. People are, those that don't want to leave, well, we've already spent $3 trillion and we've lost 4,000 lives, so we can't leave now, when the answer is that's better than losing another $4 trillion and another 4,000 lives. I wonder if Scientologists aren't the same. They've already spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. They've wasted all these years of their life, and now they feel like they've got to get to the end. They've got to find the answer, because otherwise they'd have to recognize the mistake they made for all these years. What do you think?
Very good point. Very good point. Very true point. It's very hard to admit. This is just bullshit. You know, it's like 30 years of your life is just bullshit.
Yeah, It's hard.
It's a lot to
let me
face
ask
up
you,
to, I'll tell you.
Let me ask you. Germany has taken a very strong stand against Scientology, more than I think than any other nation. What do you think Germany has done right or wrong, and what do you think the United States should do, if anything, about Scientology,
okay,
the government?
Good point. What Germany's doing right is they have Ursula Kuberta on their government that is watching and making Scientologists admit. If you're a Scientologist, you have to say so if you go into a business. They have weaseled into our government. Bruce Weisman is running a women's group in our government. His daughter just started xScientologyKids.com. I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm just saying that's what they do. They sneak into things. They don't say who they are. And whereas German government is like, no, no, you have to say who you are. And that way, if they come to your radio station, you know that's a, that guy's a Scientologist.
Tori, let me ask you, if we have a Scientologist or two or three or 12 who are quietly listening to the show today, which is certainly possible, though, and I would welcome, by the way, if there is a Scientologist listening, to call in 877-443-2366, and by all means, I'm not afraid of debate or disagreement, call in and you can argue with Tori. But if someone is listening, whether they're willing to call in or not, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, think about it. Now, I'm Tory, a declared suppressive, saying, look at both sides. Don't trust me. Don't believe me. Go read my side. Go read their side. You connect the dots. You look at all the facts and look at it. And ask yourself this. Why can't Scientology say that? If they're really as great as they are, doesn't any great organization or person say, look at both sides? Anyone you can think of says, sure, my books are open. Take a look at it. And any creepy people are usually like, only look at our side. Don't look at the other side. Why would that be?
Because I'll tell you, when I grew up...
If you found out both sides, you'd leave.
I was just going to say, when I grew up a nice Jewish boy in Nashville, Tennessee, we studied Christianity, we studied Islam, we were very unafraid to study other cultures, other religions. We could even, yes, question God's existence, because the understanding was that through questioning, you understand more in life, and that non-questioning is actually the only real danger.
Right, exactly. So that's the question I would say to any Scientologist. Don't believe me. Go read the facts. And if you try to... See, the problem with Scientologists is that in any cult member is you self-censor yourself. You shut down yourself and go, no, I don't want to read Tori. She ST, right? And it'll affect my eternity, so I'm just going to turn off the radio right now. But wait a minute.
Now, do people really feel it's going to affect their eternity? I mean, I want to understand this, because part of it, frankly, is larger than Scientology. It has to do with people who believe that if you don't agree, listen, there are people of all faiths, whether it be Christianity or Islam or Judaism, that think that if you don't believe exactly the way I believe, tooth and nail, every iota, then you're, Christians would say you're going to hell, or Muslims, you won't, I mean... Is what makes people believe that someone else has the entire truth? I don't know that anyone. In fact, I will safely say that no one has the entire truth. No human being, indeed, all of us together know the entire truth.
Exactly.
Why do people give up their confidence to believe in one person or one group knows everything?
Why do they? Because peer pressure.
It's safer.
You get in it. You believe it. You have hope. You want to believe it. And then when it starts getting weird, you've got so many people saying, no, it's not weird. Mark, it's not weird. It's you. You're being irresponsible. You're being out ethics. Your integrity's down. You're in touch with suppressive. You talk to Tory. That's why you're questioning us. Let's get them over to ethics. Now you're isolated off from all your friends, and now they're pounding you. And it's like, okay, I was wrong. You're right. Okay, I get it. I'm back on the train.
So it's basically just peer pressure as large as possible.
As large as possible, and isolation from your friends and family or anyone questioning it. They cut
what
you
happened
off from it. That's
Tori, I'm curious. You said your mother was very opposed to Scientology, and yet you were in it for 30 years. What was the relationship between you and your mother like?
My mother saved my life, because my mother implanted that seed in me in 72. I was in their Sea Org, and I have epilepsy, so I take medicine for it. I ran out of my medicine. They said, you can't take medicine in the Sea Org. We're the top 10% of the planet. They sent me to some yo-ho who was like 18 years old, the medical officer, And he said, well, we need to get you off your medicine. So here's your program. You go on out of the Sea Org and get off your medicine. And I started having grand mal seizures every day. It was a fucking nightmare. I mean, it was. It was a disaster. I knocked out my front teeth. I nearly died, and I was losing my memory, right? And my mom was calling me every day saying, Tori, you have a medical condition. These people don't know what they're talking about. Dianetics will not fix it, right? And I was like, oh, Mom, it will. You know, I'm surrounded by all these people convincing me it will, right? So finally, I was going out on a date, and she called me the next day, and she said, how was your date? And I said, what date? And she said, okay, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen to it very closely. Either you are on your medication this afternoon, and your doctor calls and tells me you are, or I'm going to fly out there, and Scientology is never going to forget talking to me. And you know, she was hardcore, man, and she saved my life
because
another guy died in Scientology on the same program.
Wow. Wow. Well, good for your mom. I tell you, what reminds me of, again, is like the Christian Scientists, they call themselves, the people that let their children die of a preventable disease because they believe that faith will cure all. I've got another anonymous-like caller. He or she, I don't even know, calls him or herself Number 6 from California. Number 6, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello? Am I on?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Tori, you may know me from Skype.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to us, Number 6. What's your question or comment?
Again, I'm from San Francisco, California, and April 12th we are holding the big protest. And we already have one speaker lined up, at least, but we could always use more. If you're a disconnected Scientologist in the San Francisco area, please consider coming out April 12th. We will be in front of the Transamerica Pyramid across from the Church of Scientology building in San Francisco.
Number 6, briefly, what's your experience with Scientology?
I'm not an ex-Scientologist, and I have no experience except from what I've seen on the internet. I've known about ZenuTV.com and the likes for years. At least 1 year before this whole thing happened. So when I saw the anonymous video made before they pulled off the denial of service attack, and when I found out about the February 10th protest, which was our first major protest, I joined right away. I mean, it's about time someone did something about them.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate what you're doing, and I know Tori does too. Thank you for your call. Let me go to Jennifer. Jennifer doesn't say where she's from. Jennifer, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
I'm from Washington, Mark.
From Washington, okay.
Washington State.
Yes. What's your comment or question?
Well, I have a question for Tori. I want to know if Tori was on staff or if she was what they refer to as a public.
Both. I was in the Sea Org. They routed me out of the Sea Org because I had to get off my medication. Then I was on staff on Celebrity Center and AOLA. What's your real question?
Staff. So what do you know about the gulag out in the desert?
What do I know
Tell
about
us about it?
They
Jennifer.
Actually, some people, the gulag out in the desert she's talking about is Golden Era Studios, where they have all of the top executives in Scientology have been locked in a room since 2000. They bring them
Wait. All of the top executives of Scientology have been locked in a room since 2000?
That's right. They bring them out to the events to talk to people, but they are all basically Miscavige. This is what someone told me who just left there, and his wife was in the room, so I got to talk to her about it, and she said it's just unbelievable. They just are manipulating them and scaring them to death. Miscavige beats people up. And so out of terror, they're all, I said, how could people stay like that? I couldn't even think about it. And I was in a mind control cult for 30 years. But staying
well,
in a room.
I didn't know about that one.
Pardon me?
I didn't know about that one, Tori. What I'm talking about.
I didn't
about,
either until about a week ago.
Oh, well, the one I'm talking about is where they send staff people that screw up, put them in boiler suits, and have them running around flagpoles in the desert
right.
all day.
That's called the RPF, which is the Rehabilitation Project Force, and before this other thing was made known, which it's just barely coming out now, but before that, that was the worst thing that could happen. First of all, it only happens, Mark, to people in their Sea Org, which is a very small group of people that work 24/7. But if
now,
you
Sea Org
up,
is the top rank, I guess, of Scientology.
No, the Sea Org isn't the top rank. The Sea Org is like their group of staff members that work 24/7. They sign a billion year contract.
right.
Okay.
So they're committed.
So they sign a.
For,
go ahead.
Committed for life.
And so if you're in the Sea Org, you have to do all these things or they fire you, break your contract. And they've
never. If you screw up, they send you out to the RPF, which is this gulag thing she's talking about, where you work half a day. You have to wear all black with an armband on it. You work half a day, and then you co-audit, meaning like you would audit me, I would audit you. That's it.
They put you in a prison, basically.
Well, in a prison, and you get beans and rice. That's all you eat. You don't get any other food. It's really bad news. So when I saw this thing on the polygamy last night, I thought,
I was thinking about that.
Huh?
I was thinking about that when I saw the women come out of the compound, and that's all they knew, and they didn't know anything other than that. I guess that what does RPF stand for? I have to ask.
Rehabilitation Project Force.
Rehabilitation Project Force. Now. Right. Can the people who are there leave?
They can. The thing is this, they're like invisible walls. Just like the polygamy people, they could leave too. Mm-hmm. But not really. I mean, they do. They RPF, I drove out there and saw it, and they had barbed wire fences on the, on the around it.
They have armed
it,
guards there.
Yeah, I know. They have armed
guards
there.
At the RPF.
But they
Jennifer,
say,
what's your experience?
Let me just say one thing. I've talked to people who are on the RPF, and it's like technically you can leave, but you can't really. Do you see what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. When I left Scientology, I had only been in for a very short time. But they had me so convinced that without Scientology, I was doomed to a life of hell that I didn't want to leave. They kicked me out.
Right.
And I always say,
why did they kick you out, Jennifer?
They kicked me out because I kept asking too many questions.
Right.
And I
they don't like people who ask questions.
They couldn't take it, you know? And they kept sending me to ethics. And it just didn't take. No matter what they did with me, I was a troublesome thing.
You were still asking questions. I guess that's why they couldn't take me for 10 minutes, because I'm always asking questions.
And let me tell you what they think about laughter. People who
they don't
laugh,
like laughter?
They're considered insane.
If you laugh, you're considered insane.
Yes.
Okay, now, I'm just going to say something here. That wasn't true for me, and my husband and I laughed a lot, and most of our friends did, so I don't know that to be true. They have a
one
thing called
things,
joking... Huh?
One of the things that I loved about Scientology, it's probably the only thing I loved about it, was that the people in Scientology are all very basically good, altruistic people. They really believe that by being there, they are doing something to help mankind out of its miserable state. They really believe that. Is that not true, Tori?
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's true
they're
of most people in religion.
Nice people. They're wonderful people, and it's nice to be around them because they're good. But they are taught that if you are what they call out ethics, if you were to say to your best friend, for example, I don't understand what this is about. This just doesn't feel right to me. They are obligated to report you.
Interesting. So it's all about informing on your neighbors. That's
right.
The part of what
they're obligated to.
Yes. That's what they have to do.
But yeah, but that doesn't mean
they
can't laugh.
They think they're helping you.
Okay, I don't get the no laughing thing, but, you know.
Well, no, I mean, Tori, I assume that there's different branches in different cities and different local policies.
Well, this was in Seattle, and I'll tell you, it was a very grim place. It was very
grim. It was.
And the first time I walked into the Seattle org, I got such a bad feeling. But my son was in, and he was pushing me to join, and I did.
Is your son still there?
20 years, and he was an auditor.
Is your son still there, Jennifer?
No.
How did you get him out?
But see, when they kicked me out, I demanded a refund, which made me an automatic SB. And so
that's
not
definitely dangerous.
Have any contact with me.
Thank you for your call, Jennifer. I want to get to someone else who's calling. I'll tell you, we could go on for hours and hours. We're going to have to do more of this. Tori, if you'll come on again, I want to have you on because there's so much more to talk about, and we're getting so many callers. Let's go to a woman who calls herself Anan Imam from Georgia. Welcome,
okay.
Anan Imam.
Tori, you will remember me. Hi. You'll remember me. I sent you a letter in December. I had seen your videos, and I was inspired by you. It was about a month. You're welcome. You also posted it on Clambake. About a month later, I guess, Anonymous hit the scene, and I quickly joined up in the group of Anonymous, I guess you could say, as a mom. And I guess my point and my reason for the call is I've been following the story. A little nervous here. Never been on the radio, but I've been following and investigating Scientology for about 4 months. I'm a strong supporter of the ex-critics and of Anonymous. So Pat Harney has tried to paint Anonymous as cyber terrorist. My point is there are other moms out there like me who support Anonymous. So my question to Tori is, what is your experience with Anonymous as far as I read that there is an Anonymous member who is a delegate for the state of Texas. I'm not to be confused with Anon, who has done great things for Anonymous.
Let me ask Tori the question, if I can. Tori, what is your perspective on Anonymous?
I think here's the deal. I was in Scientology for 30 years. No one would listen to me from the top execs on down about things that I cared about or needed. I met with some Anonymous people the day they posted their video on the net, and there were certain things that they were doing that I didn't agree with, neither did Mark Bunker. And we told them why, and they changed within 24 hours. And then some other things they were going to do, I made a suggestion, and they changed that. And I thought, this is so impressive that these people, you know, I've been in a group for 30 years. It's supposed to be these able beings, yet they can't listen to anything that would help them. And here's Anonymous. Within 24 hours, they make a change. I'm like,
The fact that they were flexible, that impressed you. Did they help you get out of Scientology? That they were flexible.
Exactly, and they could listen, and they could hear, and they could learn, and they could change. And that is the key to genius, I think. It's a brilliant thing, and they're really cool people.
And they come from all walks of life, not just, you know, they're not just from the beginning. There are people like me who are moms who are joining the cause. Like I said, there's a delegate in Houston, Texas, who is joining the cause. So it's, you know, I guess I wanted to make a point that there are others out there who are not this young group, but there are actually adults like me who are joining in, writing letters, and contributing to the efforts of Anonymous.
I want to say also, can I say something? I love, it's like I was in the 60s movement, right, with the hippies, and we changed a lot of stuff. It was really cool, and it was all different ages of people. And this is the same. I mean, I love that the people our age can be in it, people older can be in it. I love the young kids that they're actually doing something and doing something fantastic and changing things. It's so cool. It's really neat.
Anonymous, I want to thank you for your call. And I want to emphasize that there are lots of cults out there, whether it's the Church of Scientology, whether it's the Moonies, whether it's Christian Scientists. I think that Tori has it when she says that anytime you're told not to question, that's when you know you're in trouble. And that's true in politics and religion and anything else. I wish our president knew a little bit about some of the flexibility that you, Tori, were describing the way that Anon has. It's all about preserving the right to speak out and the right to question. And it'll be interesting now, I guess, if they come after me. I don't know what they could do, but who knows? I'm not afraid of them. And Tori, I'm very glad that you are not afraid either. Thank you so much for coming here on the Inside Scoop and sharing this out.
If you ever want to do it again, call me. There's tons of more stuff to cover.
Well, I would. We barely touched this in an hour. I will have you back on, and if you want to comment on today's show, my website's down. I don't think it was Scientology that did it, but it will be back up. Just go to RadioInsideScoop.com. Look there. I will have Tori back on again. You bet. We will explore this issue again. Thanks again for coming
here
on the Inside Scoop.
It was great talking to you, Mark.
Next up, our great Southern liberal, Bob Kincaid. This is Mark Levine signing off.